SpaceX's monumental announcement, a mysterious radio signal, robotic farmers, SpaceX's 10-year anniversary, the last flight of a Delta II, and much, much more on this episode, episode 17 of the Weekly Science Report. Now let's talk about this amazing announcement SpaceX made last week, SpaceX to the Moon. Now, just last week, SpaceX announced that the Japanese billionaire Yusaku Maezawa would be paying for he and up to 6 to 8 artists to fly around the moon on the company's upcoming BFR/BFS rocket. That being said, here are some important things you need to know about this exciting announcement. It will be taking place in 2023 if all goes to plan. The trip itself will take about 4 to 5 days. Types of artists could include painters, musicians, novelists, poets, dancers, etc. The trip cost an undisclosed amount. SpaceX and Yusaku Maezawa agreed not to announce the amount to the public, but many speculate it is into the hundreds of millions. The passengers will be the first ever private astronauts to head to the moon. They will have to go through some astronaut training, although they will not be flying the rocket themselves. The money from Yusaku Maezawa will directly fund the Big Falcon rocket and Big Falcon spaceship developments. Or Big Falcon ship developments. My thoughts on this. Well, I have a ton of thoughts. This is absolutely amazing as a SpaceX fan, but more importantly, as a space and space exploration fan, this is just phenomenal. No one has even headed towards the moon in, 40, 50 years? So that in itself is extremely incredible. And also, these are the first private astronauts, which is amazing as well. And also, as someone who appreciates, good works of art, whether they be novels or paintings or music, I'm really excited to see or hear, I guess, as well, what these artists will have to offer after they come back from the moon. I mean, it'd be a pretty incredible and humbling experience to go see the moon. So I think that'd just be awesome. And what else, let's see. Oh, this is another thing. Now, the 2023 date, that's a big thing. They said hopefully. It's not a set date, obviously. And with, in the aerospace industry, nothing is really a set date. There can always be setbacks and problems. So let's keep our fingers crossed that the 2023 date will be made. But anyway, I'm so excited for this and so happy for the people who all get to go. They have not been chosen, by the way. The artists will be chosen by Yusaku Maezawa sometime. We don't know exactly when. But anyway, a great project. It's called the Dear Moon Project, and I definitely recommend you research this further and follow this further because it's really amazing. And I definitely know I will follow this actively on this podcast to give you all the newest updates. SpaceX's first successful launch 10-year anniversary. Here's another bit of SpaceX news. SpaceX's first ever successful commercial launch occurred a decade ago, the day this episode is being recorded. Now, this was the time of the Falcon 1, a small rocket capable of sending up small payloads to low Earth orbit. They were faced with two other failures before the first successful launch of the Falcon 1 and were almost bankrupt when it happened. Indeed, Elon Musk and many others recognized that if that flight hadn't turned out, there would have been no more SpaceX. There wouldn't have been enough money to attempt it again. Now look how far they've come in the past decade. Now we have rockets such as the Falcon 9 and Falcon Heavy capable of doing so much more than that little Falcon 1 rocket, carrying, at least 10 times the amount and going at least 5 times as far. And not to mention that now SpaceX is pursuing reusability, which is amazing because when the Falcon 1 was created, that was completely unreusable. But now we have Falcon 9 and Falcon Heavy, which are almost completely reusable. And SpaceX is continually working with such zeal to make rockets even more reusable, such as with the nose cone and maybe the second stage at some point. But so congratulations to SpaceX. This is so amazing as, again, a SpaceX fan, but also a space exploration fan. They are continuing to push boundaries and push the industry and humanity forward, I dare say. So congratulations, and I'm really looking forward to another decade and see how far they can come from now and until another 10 years, just like this. They've gone really far so far. Let's see what they can do next. NASA's new plan. NASA has released its National Space Exploration Campaign report, and while it was light on the details, it offers a good picture on what NASA wants to do over the next couple of decades. Here are some of the bigger things. The Lunar Gateway, which is a space station or a planned space station, that would orbit around the moon, they're plan to put into orbit, if everything goes to plan, around 2026. Now, the SLS Deep Space Rocket would help construct the Lunar Gateway, it would help construct the Lunar Gateway, and that was also mentioned in this report. Now, humans go to Mars. They briefly mentioned that in the report, though hardly any info. They said it would be very tough, and that's pretty much all they said. And robotic trips to Mars. They talked about decisions they have to make for robotics trips to Mars. So anyway, those were the main things. They talked a lot about funding and little things like that. Or not little things, but not as interesting as, you know, the Lunar Gateway Station. And so my thoughts on this, pretty interesting. You know, NASA is a big government organization. I think they definitely do need some more funding to accomplish more of these things. But really, I'm excited. The Lunar Gateway has been kind of controversial. People are saying, yes, we should do it. No, we shouldn't. I really don't have a good opinion on that, you know, because I'm not very educated on it. I know very little, but it seems pretty interesting, at least in, you know, concept or on paper. So let's just hope NASA can accomplish some of these things over the next decades, as these are pretty interesting and really push science and humanity forward as a whole. And the source for this was Popular Mechanics. Delta 2 is done. A few weeks ago, on September 15th, at 5:46 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time, the last Delta 2 from ULA lifted off from Space Launch Complex 2 West at Vandenberg Air Force Base in California. It was carrying ISAT-2, quote, a satellite that will measure the height of glaciers, sea ice, forests, lakes, and more, end quote, from NASA. So, other interesting facts about this launch. The payload slash satellite weighs 1,580 kilograms or 3,483 pounds. Now, this was the 155th flight of the Delta II. It was the eighth flight for ULA this year in 2018. And like I said, it's also the last flight of a Delta II as well, forever. So Delta II is a great rocket. Again, I don't know too much about it because you know, I'm relatively new to the space scene, I guess you could say. But it was a great rocket, did many things. And as you can tell by its record of 155 flights, it was quite a popular and heavily used rocket over the past few years. So, goodbye, Delta 2. The source of this was EverydayAstronaut.com. Alien signals? Quote, for the past decade, scientists have been puzzling over powerful millisecond-long flashes of energy from deep space. Most scientists believe these signals are coming from new neutron stars or black holes, and of course some think it's aliens. But no matter what you believe, a new discovery concerning these FRBs, or fast radio bursts, from Breakthrough Listen, an initiative that uses AI to detect this phenomenon, has put out a completely unexpected discovery. There's a lot more FRBs than originally thought. In particular, there are a lot of fast radio bursts coming from FRB 121102, quote, an as-yet uncharted source in a galaxy 3 billion years, light years from Earth, end quote. Using this deep learning algorithm this initiative uses, Yufan Zhang reported he had discovered 100 previously undetected bursts. When researchers checked his data, they confirmed there were at least 72 undetected bursts, something that was astonishing. This new method that is being pioneered right now could potentially detect mountains of previously undetected bursts. As for if the bursts were natural or artificial, or in other words, made by advanced extraterrestrial civilization, quote, we still have no clue on whether their origin is artificial or natural, said Avi Loeb, the science theory director for initiatives funded by Breakthrough Prize Foundation. So, you know, obviously, this is probably a natural source. It could be an artificial source, aka an alien-made source. But anyway, it's really interesting, and this discovery of more fast radio bursts than expected using this new AI is really cool because it's kind of combining artificial intelligence and space into one thing and showing how artificial intelligence can really help discover new phenomenon in space. So that's really cool. As for what this means, I really don't know. I mean, No one seems to know right now, but I definitely will keep you updated on this. The source for this was NBC News. A boring company lift in a garage? In Hawthorne, California, the boring company has gotten the okay to build a prototype loop lift connecting a garage with a tunnel. The lift will start at a private residence owned by the boring company and will link it to the existing mile-long track test tunnel that connects to the SpaceX campus, which they use for research and development. The car will be able to go up from the tunnel or down too, meaning it never actually has to go outside of the garage. The company says its goal isn't to put an elevator in old garages, and that this is just to show that lifts can be built in very small footprints. The tunnel and lift will solely be used for research and development, and once finished, for demonstrations. This is really cool. It's great to see the Boring Company progress in its vision or in its goal or mission to kind of make these tunnels a reality. So it's really cool to see this. And the source for this was Digital Trends. Here is a story in robotics and AI, a farming robot that can peel lettuce. Researchers from Cambridge University have now made a bot that is capable of peeling lettuce and other vegetables. This could be huge as harvesting lettuce is very time-consuming and also difficult at times. The bot is a modified SAR bot with a few upgrades and modifications, and though it's slow, it certainly works. A machine vision algorithm is used, along with a suction nozzle and a robotic arm. With a few more upgrades, such as making it go faster, this robot could potentially become an efficient and useful tool to agriculture. The source for this was The Verge. Great to see robots and AI progressing. And it shows you that robots and AI can really help speed up otherwise mundane and slow and inefficient tasks. And that's it for today's The Weekly Science Report episode. Now, I am getting back on schedule slowly but surely, I assure you, as, you know, I'm getting used to the routine. If you don't know, I just went back to school, as I am still a student, so it's been pretty hectic. So I've had to miss a few weeks here and there, and I do apologize, but we are getting back on schedule, and hopefully we should be pretty consistent from now on, or at least I should say I should be pretty consistent with making episodes from now on. Now, if there were any glitches in this episode, like if there was some choppiness within some of the audio clips, I do apologize. I've been having some pretty bad computer troubles today. My computer kept rebooting, and it wouldn't start, and it just kept going in an endless cycle. Luckily, I was able to fix that with, you know, a quick Google search on what to do and a little bit of ingenuity. But so that is fixed. But also, Google Chrome has been kind of weird, and my internet's also been a little weird today. So I don't know, just a lot of technological troubles today. So I do apologize if anything sounds a little bit choppy. Hopefully, the episode should be pretty good. And also, I do apologize for not getting an episode out last week. As I said, I am starting to readjust and acclimate to going back to school more. So hopefully you should be more consistent in the future. Again, I should be more consistent in the future. Anyway, if you want to follow me, you can find me at TWI Side Podcast on Twitter or at TWI Side Podcast at gmail.com. If I missed anything, if you want me to talk about something next episode, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, you can find me there. And that's it for me. So I'll see you next week, hopefully at least, on the Weekly Science Report.